Yes. Please, whoever you are, take good care of my little girl. She's her mama's angel. She's a good girl and never gave anyone a minute's trouble. And bring her back. I don't know if I can go on without her. Kathy. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Martin. Our prayers are with you and little Lisa Marie. I think the Today Show interview went well, no matter what happened after. The teddy bear was a real good touch. And the talk about the pink velvet dress. I look better than I had the night before. I put some mousse in my hair and done it up on top that way that makes me look like Heather Locklear. And I wore black. It's slimming. Yeah, I'd say I look real good. We watched the interview when it was on. It plays an hour later in Tulsa. And we recorded it, so I got to watch it a lot. I'll always be glad we did that interview, even if it did get us into trouble. First, there was the part about the dress. I guess I'd said the day before that I was in Penny's women's wear when she disappeared, and on the interview I said girls' wear. It didn't make any difference that those departments are real close together. The police just worried that and worried it and wouldn't let it go. Then there was the thing about me saying the bear was her favorite toy. They said I wouldn't use past tense unless I knew she was dead. Like I know anything about grammar. First time they mentioned that past tense thing to me, I said, all I know about tense is you're making me tense. Dan thought that was pretty funny. The other thing that started things against us was Dan's talk about the black man. It didn't seem to me that what he said was so awful. But all of a sudden, after the interview, we were racists. Those people are so sensitive. You can't say anything these days. First thing you know, you got that Jesse Jackson making some rhyme about you and 200 of those people carrying signs. They found the guy from the parking lot, and it was like he was some black Superman. He's a high school teacher working on his master's degree at night. Volunteers for a youth center. I told Dan he probably teaches AIDS babies to patty cake in his spare time. The little girl was his 3-year-old daughter. How anyone could mistake a 3-year-old little black girl for little Lisa Marie is beyond me. Pink Parker and no Pink Parker. The little girl was crying because she was tired and she fell, he says. I don't know about that. My guess is he gave her a smack because she wasn't walking fast enough. You know, a funny thing happened during that interview and then later when I watched it all those times. I started to believe in that little girl, that little Lisa Marie. We never called her Lisa Marie, just Lisa or Pinhead. But when I watched that interview, I started to believe in that little girl who was her mother's perfect angel and looked good in pink and needed a teddy bear to sleep with. I mean, that little girl was a little girl I could have dressed up and played with. Dan would have loved her. He would have sat her on his knee and laughed, and we'd all be a family. But my Lisa wasn't anything like that. She always had a snotty nose and pink eye. I bet she got it 3 times a year. There's nothing uglier than pink eye, unless it's those scabs she got from picking at her lip. I used to tell Olivia, Lisa's got a face only a mother could love, but to tell you the truth, I really couldn't love her either. From Statement to Police by Ray Ann Mildred Martin, 10 p.m. November 29th, 1995. Present, Martin, investigating officers Belson and Randall. Ray Ann Martin, I know my rights. I don't have to talk to you. Detective Randall, that's right, Ray Ann. You could even get a lawyer in here to do your talking for you. Some people do that, people who aren't good at talking for themselves. Belson, the thing is, Dan's in a whole lot of trouble right now. He told us what happened, but it seems like the more he talks, the worse trouble he gets himself into. Ray Ann, Dan didn't do anything wrong. He must not have explained it right. Randall, why don't you explain it to us? Begin last Sunday night. Ray Ann, well, Dan had kind of a bad day. His team lost, and I guess he had some money on him. Anyway, by supper time, he'd been sitting around all day watching football, and he's probably a little hungover, maybe a little drunk even. Like maybe he's not responsible for what he's doing. So, Lisa, she was sitting on the floor by the radiator. She had this cold, and she kept coughing. I could tell it was driving Dan crazy. This real phlegmy cough kind of makes you gag to hear it. Well, I say, soup's on, and Lisa starts coughing up goobers, and Dan says, how's a man supposed to eat with that going on? And just then, he looks at Lisa, and she looks up at him, and this big green bubble of snot comes out of her nose. He slapped her. Didn't look that hard to me. He slapped her, and her head snapped back into the radiator. You can't blame him for how her head snapped back. I mean, that was an accident, a freak accident. It could happen to anybody. Now, I'll admit that it sounded loud when her head hit the radiator, louder than it should, but we didn't think anything of it. She just lay there like she does sometimes when she's sulking. She didn't come into supper, but we didn't think anything about that either. Anytime I fixed chili, Miss Finicky didn't eat. So we had a few beers with the chili, and after a while, Dan got romantic, and we went to bed. I guess I kind of forgot about her. But she liked to sleep by the radiator, and if she didn't, well, she knew where her bed was. The first thing I know there's trouble is the next morning. I get up and go in the living room, and she's still lying there, and Dan's sitting across from her in his underwear crying like a baby. It takes a minute for it all to sink in, but when it does, I go over to Dan and put my arms around him. A lot of women are turned off when they see a man cry, but I say there's nothing stronger than a man who'll let you see the little boy inside. I say, just leave it to Mama. It'll be okay. Dan says, what are we going to do? And I say, we don't have to decide anything right now. We put her in one of those suit bags, the kind you get at nice stores. The people who live in the apartment before us left it. Some people don't know the value of anything, just throw away something good like that suit bag. Well, Dan put her in the bag. I couldn't stand to touch her. And we put her in the closet, and we both went to work and figured we'd work it out when we got home. Officer Randall, does that seem a normal way for a mother to act? Martin, what? She was dead. Crying and caring, I wouldn't help her. Nothing would help her. But she could get Dan in big trouble. That's what I had to worry about now, and the way I look at it, technically I wasn't a mother anymore. But I was a wife. I had a legal and a moral duty to love and cherish and protect Dan. Officer Randall, so you watched your husband kill her, and then you were actively complicit in the cover-up. Rayanne Martin, are you inferring I did something wrong? You get me a lawyer and get some of those TV cameras in here. Let's just show them how you treat a grieving mother.